Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, your host. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for all the downloads of our podcasts here on Progressive Radio Network. They do have a counter, and I see it's up above 140,000 downloads of our shows. That's really, really wonderful, and I love to see people coming to lectures. I had about several hundred people in my lectures this weekend at the Naval Expo, navalexpo.com. You can check that out because there are two live Naval Expos a year, two in Long Island and two in New York. And we probably had close to 3,000 people coming through the doors at the Naval Expo. This was the 24th time we've had this event, and that's so satisfying to see the numbers growing as well. And in my own lecture, standing room only, we talked about herbs and we talked about genetically modified organisms. And both of those are available on CD if you'd like to hear those lectures. Get in touch through naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. Either of those ways you can find me and let me know that you'd like a copy of those CDs, and I will tell you how you actually can get them in terms of the GMO lecture and the lecture on herbal medicine. Of course, we have ongoing classes. Basically daily, we have one on Saturday, which will be online, about experiencing the consciousness of plants. Very interesting topic. Plants communicate. Ancient ritual healers knew that. If you are a person who spends a lot of time outside, you know that. And if you're a modern scientist reading the top-level mainstream scientific journals, then you know that as well, because there is more and more specific evidence-based studies going on in terms of plant communication abilities. So that will be a class that we have going on this Sunday. Go to naturalnurse.com, go to schedules, scroll down to Saturday's date, I believe it's November 14th, and you can register right there. And if you hear this show anytime, you can always go to naturalnurse.com schedule to see when our next class is. There actually is one almost every day. And if there is not one on a particular day, then you can create your own by getting in touch, because all classes are given on individual levels and do carry CEU certificates for various professionals. And in fact, one of the professionals who have these kinds of licenses is with us as our guest today, because our classes are certified for licensed acupuncturists, massage therapists, nurses, midwives, and many other professional specialties. Today, we have as our guest Millard Roper, and he is a licensed acupuncturist, massage therapist, and herbalist. For many years, he has taught Kung Fu, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and various Asian medicine classes and seminars. His passion for these arts and the knowledge behind them come through clearly when he is teaching. Millard has been a yoga practitioner for 15 years, and becoming a yoga instructor was a natural and obvious progression in his life path. Millard has had amazing teachers in various fields, and they are a constant source of inspiration and knowledge to him. He's forever grateful to them as well. His enthusiasm for life and the balance he has created in his professional and personal endeavors is inspirational to his students, patients, friends, and family. And he runs a beautiful double location, which you can see at funkyom.com. That's the funky, funkyom.com. And we will be reviewing his work with him today. So thank you so much for joining us today, Millard.
Hey, no problem. It's good to be here.
Okay. Now I hear you, but is there a way that you could make that a little bit louder?
Let's see. How is that? Is that better?
Okay. Well, you may want to talk a little louder, and perhaps our engineer in studio can also give you a little bit more volume. So hopefully you will be coming through. Now, you've been doing this many years, and what inspired you to make natural medicine your life path?
Well, I was exposed to it fairly young. When I was 14 years old, I was exposed to it through Chinese martial arts and learning how to make some herbal formulas, some topical herbal formulas. My martial arts teacher took me to Chinatown and really kind of exposed me to it. You know, when you walk into an herb shop in Chinatown, the smell alone can really kind of captivate somebody. So I was hooked. And then I started going in every week, and that's what I spent all my money on, was learning how to make herbs. And these people really, really showed me a lot of stuff in Chinatown. And then as I learned more, I wanted to learn it from a more scholastic viewpoint rather than just, like, going into Chinatown and learning from the people who their education with it was not that deep, because they were the pharmacists, so to speak. And so I had wanted to learn kind of some of the deeper aspects of it, so that kind of led me down this path of holistic medicine.
So it was a natural progression, but it sounds like your first introduction was through martial arts.
Yes. Yeah,
that's
interesting.
Definitely. Everybody has their own path of what got them involved, the many, many people who are involved in natural medicine. And with martial arts, is that something that you think is for everybody, or do you have to already be into fitness?
No, I mean, martial arts in general, I mean, there's so many different ways to approach martial arts. The tradition of it is so vast, meaning some of it is spiritual in nature and very meditative. Others can be very more fitness-based and more kind of physical in nature. So it doesn't require any type of fitness background or anything like that. I mean, depending on what you want to get into, if somebody told me that, you know, they wanted to get into the ring and, you know, fight professionally, I might say, well, that's going to require some fitness background. But as far as just having an interest in the history, in the culture, all of that, I think that's game for anybody.
So what would be the names, let's say, of various specific martial arts that you would find that might be useful for one person or another?
So Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is one art that I love and I've been doing for the past 15 years. And that is a more modern interpretation of Japanese Jiu-Jitsu, which kind of had an evolution in Brazil. But but the more traditional arts, like Chinese martial arts, Kung Fu, that carries with it kind of a more holistic viewpoint of the body, meaning you're going to have good breathing and meditation, and you're going to have an understanding of the body on a more subtle level rather than just the gross physical level. So it carries with it more weight, per se. I'd use that word, like weight, in the sense of it's going to be more well-rounded in a holistic viewpoint for the body. Maybe not as if somebody's looking just to be a fighter, though, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu might be the way to go. So there's if somebody came to me and they were interested in martial arts, I'd say, why do you want to study martial arts? Because then that's going to really determine where you go with it.
And what about, let's say, an older person, let's say a 60-year-old woman who comes into your beautiful store? By the way, we do want to tell our listeners that you actually have two fantastic facilities, just beautifully appointed in Huntington, Long Island. So you're one of my unusual local guests, because we have guests from all over the world. We had a veterinarian, a natural veterinarian on from New Zealand, and, you know, we have top authors from all over the country and the world. So you are actually very local, right in Huntington, Long Island. So let's say somebody walked in because she heard that you have phenomenal organic vegetable juice that you sell right at your Ohm Organics Grab and Go Cafe. And then in there, right across the way, right there, almost connected, you have your beautiful yoga studio. And that is where the teaching goes on. So what kind of class might you recommend for that kind of person?
Well, at the Funky Ohm, the yoga studio right next door, we teach yoga. So
exactly.
there's various styles of yoga, not too different from martial arts, in that there's going to be types of yoga that are going to be very physical and make you sweat and get a great workout. And then there's going to be other types of yoga that are much more internal and not going to push the body as physical. So if I had somebody who, you said a 60-year-old woman come to me,
right,
I would really ask, what do you want to get out of it? You know, do you? And at that point, then people usually know, I want to work out and I want to calm my mind down. Or they say, I just want to relax. I just want to stretch. You know, and that's going to really determine which class they go to, because it's going to put them in a separate mindset. I mean, there was a woman in class the other day. She was 80 years old, and she wanted to work out. You know, she wanted to sweat. But the beauty of yoga is, even in those classes where you're pushing the body physically, there's always going to be time afterwards for the meditation to calm the mind down.
So I'm looking at your schedule at your website, which is The Funky Ohm. That's The Funky, FUNKYOM.com, because it's beautifully done. And I think it reflects on the many aspects that you offer at the studio. So let's talk about some of the differences between some of these classes. For instance, you have something called basic yoga, and then you have something called heated vinyasa. What would be the difference between those classes?
So a basic yoga class is basic postures, meaning pretty much everybody can do those postures in that basic class. Nothing will be too out of bounds for the majority of people. Heated vinyasa, that's where it gets into a little bit more of the physical, and it takes some of the postures to the next level, where you're definitely going to sweat. The room is set to 90 degrees.
How do you do that? How do you create the heat in the room?
There's a special heater that we use to heat the room. And the body heat helps, but the class itself helps, but the heater obviously does as well. But the vinyasa is going to create a lot of the heat, which is linking the movement with the breath.
Okay, so is that what vinyasa means, linking the movement with the breath?
Yeah. And
because even in basic yoga, there's certainly a focus on breathing as well.
Yeah. I mean, even within the basic yoga, there is, you could say, a vinyasa section, which means you're going to be linking movement with breath. But at the same time, we've kind of modernized yoga in our Western way of the way we kind of structure things. And so these terms that we've kind of come up with are more modern terms within the past, you know, 40 years, and certainly within the past, you know, 15 years that they've become really mainstream.
And I imagine you yourself have probably studied, I am sure, many styles as I have. Like, there's differences between Hatha yoga and specific teachers that are available. They each have their own sort of projected form of yoga. So I'm sure you've studied many of them. Which do you find most useful?
So this is another example of how we've kind of westernized these terms of yoga. So we know, well, a lot of people have seen Hatha yoga, right, or Hatha yoga. Now, all vinyasa is actually under the guidelines of Hatha yoga. So, I mean, one could say that. But in our Western way of categorizing things, we've kind of separated them, so now they mean two very different things. But from a traditional standpoint, what you are doing in vinyasa is Hatha yoga, which just literally means forced connection, forced yoga. So you are literally taking these postures, breathing in them, and kind of forcing this connection to the body.
And what would be the difference, let's say, with Iyengar, which is a particular style?
Sure. So Iyengar, he was a student of a man by the name of Krishnanamacharya. So pretty much 90% of everybody doing yoga in the Western world can trace their upline to this man named Krishnanamacharya. Iyengar was one of Krishnanamacharya's students. So by him being one of his students, he has a direct line to this lineage of Krishnanamacharya, who studied various forms of Hatha Yoga, and he is the one who pretty much created vinyasa. So his students, Krishnanamacharya's students, main students, were Mr. Iyengar, who created Iyengar Yoga, and Patabi Joyce, who created Ashtanga Yoga. So these two men are pretty much responsible for bringing the yoga as we know it into the West. So Mr. Iyengar really took it upon himself to find ways to do the postures in a very meticulous, alignment-based way, meaning making sure that the body is in good alignment and not sacrificing alignment for the sake of the posture. So it's a little slower. It's a little slower. It doesn't move quite as fast. But some of the best yoga practitioners I know, from an asana or posture standpoint, they connect to these postures very intensely through studying Iyengar yoga.
Yes, I personally, that I find is my favorite of for myself, because
sure,
those little teeny corrections they give you, which are very subtle, sometimes it's just move your middle finger to be pointing between your first two toes.
Right,
you know, something
right,
very specific, but when you do that, you might create an entire change in alignment, which
yeah,
allows, let's say, for the opening of the lungs, which is really such an important part of the posture. And when you're just doing Hatha, I think sometimes that's lost.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on the teacher, because nowadays there is so much mixing of styles that I have a good friend of mine, her name is Miles Barrera, and she teaches in New York City, and she gives such great cueing, and she has this connection to alignment-based yoga, but yet at the same time she's teaching a more vinyasa type of flow. So nowadays what I find is the really good teachers are kind of bringing it all together in a nice way of realizing that there is such importance with the alignment, but also with the flowing. And you know, and this is one of the nice things about what we do in the Western culture, is we can take things and kind of bring them together, bring a very traditional thing, and say, well, let's add this to it. For example, like with acupuncture, if you go to China and you get acupuncture done, you're not going to be on a heated table with dim lighting and nice music playing and nice incense. You know, this is what we've done with acupuncture, and that is how you will probably get treated if you get treated here. And that is kind of a westernization of acupuncture. Not a bad thing, you know.
Well, I think that's one of your really major strengths. And you are a current modern teacher. You have studied ancient traditions deeply. And from each of your teachers, you have integrated what you feel both philosophically and personally works best, not only for you, but for your individual patients and clients. And so you are actually creating a whole new thought form. And I love the way you are integrating it all between the cafe, which really looks at how can we nourish our bodies, and your studio, which is how you can really integrate a lot of these healing techniques. Now, do you also have a practice in acupuncture as well?
I do. I that has become less of a focus, as I have three good friends that I trust with my heart, who treat out of the studio. So in the yoga studio, I have two treatment rooms.
Okay, and, so you offer it in your yoga studio. You actually have treatment rooms so people can get acupuncture there as well.
Yes. And they are three friends that I've known for years who are great practitioners. And when I opened the cafe, I found myself not having as much time, and I knew they were so dedicated to building their practices that I thought it was such a great thing to be able to have both. Because for years I would treat people, and I would say, you know, what you really need to start implementing is some dietary changes, and this is what I think you should do. But then I could make those recommendations, but then a lot of times there was no outlet for them to go. A place to go to that was convenient. And now, if those recommendations are made, you can say, you know, you can go, like, you know, 100 feet to your left, and you'll find exactly what I'm talking about.
This is so true. So we're going to take a little break here right now, and I do want to alert our listeners that we are interviewing today a very knowledgeable holistic practitioner of many, many arts. His name is Millard Roper. You can find him at thefunkyom.com, also at the Om Organics Grab and Go Cafe. That's in Huntington, New York. And the phone number is 631-673-7020. And we're going to take a little break right now, Millard, just to listen to the Natural Medicine Chest. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion on all of these fascinating topics in natural living. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll take a look at the soybean, its phytochemistry, and its role as a food and medicine.
It is exciting to see a resurgence in research by universities and food scientists on the role that foods play in disease prevention. Many of these institutions, such as the United Soybean Board, the American Soybean Farmers Association, and the National Cancer Institute, are busy developing designer foods, or superfoods, concentrating the essential nutrients and phytochemicals in soybeans and other foods that have potent medicinal effects. Commonly known foods which have soy in them include soy milk, a cheese-like substance called tofu, tempeh, a fermented soy protein, and tamari, a fermented soy sauce. The soybean is a rich source of many nutrients, including selenium, zinc, beta-carotene, vitamins A, C, and E, and 20 of the 22 amino acids. Soy also contains essential fatty acids.
Research on soy foods is vast and well known to health enthusiasts, although the general public and physicians in the United States may not be aware of this plethora of research. In Japan and China, however, this is not the case, as a voluminous number of scientific studies have been carried out in animals and humans. Chinese studies reveal that soy products can increase the ability, rate of activity, and number of white blood cells. Patients receiving chemotherapy and radiation can benefit from drinking soy milk, which in several studies demonstrated a protective effect on the liver and gastrointestinal system.
It is interesting to note that the British journal Lancet revealed that vegetarians and Asians who ingest high amounts of soy have the lowest rates of cancer. This is due to one of soy's constituents called genistein. This chemical is a phytoestrogen or plant estrogen, which can decrease and block the uptake of human estrogen and testosterone, as well as enhance its excretion. Like the drug tamoxifen, it competes with estrogen for uptake in the reproductive tissues. By doing so, hormone-dependent cancers like ovarian, breast, and prostate cancers may be prevented.
In conditions where there is a deficiency of hormones, such as osteoporosis and menopause, soy isoflavones, such as genistein, can weakly mimic estrogen and reduce the severity of these problems.
So, listeners, don't count out the versatile soybean. Make it a delicious and nutritious part of your natural medicine chest.
Dr. Z, we love that you join us each week at Tuesday at 10 a.m., 10 to 11 a.m., but the show is archived, so if you hear something here live that you'd like to listen to again or download or share with a friend, the best thing is to go to prn.fm, prn.fm, that's Progressive Radio Network, and then you can go to Natural Nurse, that's how this show is listed, Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And then you can get all the archives and listen to them one by one or download them onto your whatever you have. I don't have those things, but I know many of you do, iPads, iPhones, iWhatevers, onto your computer. And you can listen to it anytime, day or night. And not only the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, but all the wonderful shows that are aired here on Progressive Radio Network, Gary Knowles Network, the best information in natural medicine and politics and all kinds of ideas within the progressive lifestyle, not what you're going to hear on mainstream. So it's a really wonderful resource. And we're here today with our guest. Our guest is Millard Roper, and he is a licensed acupuncturist, massage therapist, and herbalist, and he's been sharing with us his path through the journeys that he's been through that has brought him to where he is now in life. And he is a yoga instructor as well as a massage therapist, as we said, and he has really one beautiful business that has two specific locations right next door to each other. One is Om Organics Grab and Go Cafe, and then the Funky Om Yoga Studio. So let's talk a little bit about business, because certainly not only are you an adept at so many aspects in natural medicine, but you also brought into being a beautiful yoga studio and the Om Organics Cafe. So how did you get started on that journey?
You know, it was an interesting story. I had an acupuncture office out in Southampton, and I was renting space out of a yoga studio. And in this yoga studio, which is called Ananda Yoga, in Southampton, and I watched Mary, the owner, for, I think, like 4 or 5 years, and I watched her run her yoga studio with no intention of running my own yoga studio ever. I was just there. You know, that's where I would practice, you know, when I would practice yoga and all that. So I would be watching how she did things. And then when it came time and I did my yoga training and all of that, and I just kind of said, oh, I've been around it for years, and I've been tutored by Mary without even knowing it on how to run a business like this. So when the time came, and the time was just right to go for it, I felt very confident, because at that point, too, I had been an acupuncturist for, I think, 10 years and a massage therapist for 15, and I run those businesses, but I hadn't run the yoga business, you know, for that amount of time. But it just was a natural progression, because what I saw was there's a lot of yoga studios that have some natural medicine associated with it, but when the owner doesn't know that business, then there are certain aspects of that business that don't take off. And vice versa, you might be an acupuncturist and have a big space to do yoga in, but it's hard because if you don't know the yoga business, then it's hard to marry those two things together because they're different. So but by me having both skill sets, I thought it was good to put them together and bring them to Huntington.
And how long have both the yoga studio and Om Organics been in place there?
The yoga studio has been there almost 3 years soon, and the cafe is much younger, just opened this year a few months ago. And,
so the cafe was an outgrowth of the fact that you had the yoga studio doing pretty well, having a pretty large population of people, and then you brought into your classes the concept of correct eating.
Yes, yes.
And maybe then you said, but where can they go to get this food?
Right. But mainly because I had wanted myself to go eat somewhere, and there was nowhere local for me to go.
Okay, so that inspired you to open right next door to the yoga studio, Om Organics.
Right.
So let's talk about Om Organics and what's available there and your philosophy behind it.
Sure. So we have cold press juicing. So that was kind of where it started. I said, okay, let's have some good juice that tastes good, like juice that tastes good, not juice that you're like struggling to get down, but, you know, juice that is healthy but tastes good, that uses a lot of greens. Because what I had found is when I would go into a place, sometimes I would order, let's just say, kale, spinach, cucumber, apple, lemon, and I would get primarily cucumber and apple and very little kale or spinach, and I wanted more kale or spinach. So I wanted to create a juice that was both yummy but very nutritious. So
I will say that's interesting, because you have something that most places don't, where you pre-make juice and put it in glass jars. And that's fantastic for that concept of grab and go.
Yes, yes. That was a big part of it, is that the cold press allows it to where no heat touches.
Well, tell us
vegetable.
All about that, because many people might know about juicing, but they may not know what cold press means. So I know it's just an everyday term for you, but why don't you go into some of the different kinds of juicing and why you feel cold press is preferable?
Sure. So when you I'll take it back to the beginning, because this is a common question. People come in and they say, oh, I juice every day. I have my Nutribullet at home. And so we'll talk about juicing and smoothies, just the delineation between those two. because sometimes people mistakenly think that they're the same. The juice, with juicing, you're actually taking the nutrient away from the fiber. So you're separating the two, nutrient from the fiber. With smoothies, you're leaving some of that fiber intact. And a lot of people will say, well, the fiber is good, isn't it? And I say, yes, the fiber is good. But it's just a different vehicle, right? So when you have the juice, it's like getting all of the nutrient rather than mixing it, leaving some of that nutrient with the fiber. So by no means am I saying people shouldn't drink smoothies or have fiber in their diet. That's, of course, going to be there. But the idea is to maximize all the nutrition out of the vegetable and put it into a juice form. So there. And then beyond that, then the different types of juicing are cold pressed and mainly centrifugal juicers, which are like if you go to Bed Bath & Beyond, you can buy a juicer for $100, and that juicer is going to spin a blade really fast. And if you actually feel the pulp afterwards, you can feel that it heated up a little bit because the blade is spinning so fast. Nothing wrong with that, but you got to drink that juice right away. Otherwise, it starts to oxidize. And what I mean by oxidize is like how if you leave a banana out, it starts to turn brown. The oxidation process is starting to happen. And you're going to start to lose nutrient from that juice because it had touched the heat, so it started to kind of cook a little bit. With a cold press, there's nothing, no heat touching it. So it's literally this huge press that is just squeezing everything out. And
what's
it's
the name
cold
of that
the whole
juicer?
Time. What's that?
What's the name of a cold press juicer? Is it just called a cold press juicer, or are there different kinds, and is one better than another?
Yeah, there's two main ones on the market. One is called the Norwalk juicer. That's about $2,500. And one is the Good Nature juicer, which is about $20,000. So they're pretty expensive machines. The Norwalk juicer is more for home use. And I find not to be as good as the more expensive one, obviously.
Well, you know, that's an old juicer because many, many, many years ago, I've collected every kind of juicer, and I had a Norwalk press. The problem with it, I found, is that it was pretty labor-intensive, and then sometimes the little packet, like, burst open.
Yeah,
and it was all over the place, so it was difficult.
Man. I've been there.
Yeah. But it certainly made great juice. It was just a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, the Norwalk itself, for the price and the volume that it can make, anybody that's owned one knows how labor-intensive it is. And, the new juicer that we have here, the Good Nature, is just, it's just phenomenal. It's meant for commercial use. No, nobody's really going to buy a Good Nature juicer unless it's they're opening the business, you know.
Right, it's not worth that kind of investment. But they can always come to a cafe that has it. A lot of commercial places do use that. And so someone could even know just from listening to today's show that they may want to ask around about cold press juicing.
Yeah, definitely. Because a lot of people don't know, and people will be buying juice cleanses from people that are just using centrifugal juicers, and that nutrient just isn't going to be there the same way as it would with a cold press juice.
Now, you put your juice in glass jars. I mean, you can also get it fresh, right? Someone can walk up and just get it fresh. And then you have it in the fridge in these beautiful glass jars. Why do you choose glass to put the juice in?
You know, if you're going to spend $10 on a juice, I mean, I'm breaking it down simple. There is science behind this, too. But I'm going to break it down simple, the simple way first, which is if you're going to spend $10 on something, And all of this love and effort goes into it, like care goes into how we make the juice. I felt like it deserved some class, for lack of a better word. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's meant as, literally, the way I'm looking at it is very much like medicine. You know, to drink these juices, you are doing the absolute best things for your body that you can do. So in my mind, it deserved that level of class. Beyond that, the glass bottles, there's varying, different people say different things with the science behind it as far as the type of plastic that you use, as far as the BPA and all of that, and the toxin seeping into the juice then. And it just made sense that you're going to want a more organic, for lack of a better word, organic material holding the juice rather than something plastic, which can break down. There are good plastic companies that can do it, but I just thought if I'm going to do it, I want to do it right, or right in my mind, which is with glass.
Now, how long, once the juice is made, is it viable for? Because you make it and then put it in the fridge.
Sure. We pretty much juice every day here, but people buy juice cleanses all the time. So with that, from the day that they're juiced, anywhere from 1 to 5 days, they say they're nutritionally good. Now, after that, supposedly, this is what they say from the juice companies, is that they're still good after that to drink. They're still safe to drink. Nah, I mean, after 5 days, that's it in my book. You know, that juice
that
is no longer
enough.
Viable.
Okay, well, we're going to stand by because we're going to allow Progressive Radio Network to bring our listeners some updates on many of the fantastic shows that they can listen to right here on Progressive Radio Network. And when we come back, we'll be continuing our discussion with Millard Roper. You can find out more on the website, The Funky Ohm. That's thefunkyohm.com. Or there's a beautiful Facebook page for the Grab and Go Ohm Organics Grab and Go Cafe. And you can actually see a beautiful picture of the glass jars of the juices we've been talking about. And we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
My name is David Crow, and I want you to listen to my new show on PRN.fm called The Infectious Myth. Really, the only thing infectious about the show will be the questions that start cascading when the myths about infectious disease come tumbling down. There is no infectious paradigm that, when examined closely with scientific evidence, does not have serious holes. SARS, AIDS, polio, mad cow. We will cover all of these and even stray into other areas of questionable science on occasion. I hope you will listen and even call in. Challenge me if you like. Interesting discussions will result. If you don't catch my show live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, listen to the podcast. And if you use iTunes, do me a favor and rate the show there. That's The Infectious Myth, Tuesday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, every week.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Normally, you would hear the Progressive Commentary Hour Monday evenings, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. However, as of today, we're going to be having it every Tuesday, 7 to 8 p.m. So just change your calendar, please. Change your schedule. Tuesday, 7 to 8 for the Progressive Commentary Hour.
Stay tuned to PRN.fm for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse. And you can find me at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. We love to get your comments. Interesting that some people actually did comment on Facebook, The Natural Nurse, right while we've been on the show. We just love to have that kind of input. Now, we have classes going on daily. You can go to naturalnurse.com schedule. And we'll be updating that for the winter shortly, but every single day you can take a class, either in herbal medicine, which is you can get a certificate for if you're a professional, such as an acupuncturist, massage therapist, nurse, midwife, many other professions, or you can take it just for your own knowledge, and you will also get a certificate from Natural Alternatives Health Education and Multimedia. So it's still a certification, but it's not a CE credit because you can't get a CE credit unless you already have a professional license. But either way, the knowledge is there for you. We also have individual personal consultations available. Let's say you have some kind of illness challenge and you'd like to know how to integrate natural therapies either instead of or along with pharmaceutical agents and conventional therapeutic modalities. Well, we can do that for you either in office or on the phone. And that is available also by going to naturalnurse.com and click under services. We also have career counseling because, like our guest today, and we'll be reintroducing him shortly, you can join together your knowledge and passion for natural medicine and create that into your life's work. I meet with so many people who are very unhappy with what they're actually doing on a daily level. And they say, how can I move into natural lifestyle and make that my career as well as my interest and my passion? Well, there's definitely ways to do that, and we talk about that in our career counseling class. So that is really what we've been talking about also with our guest today. Our guest is Millard Roper, licensed acupuncturist, massage therapist, herbalist, and owner of natural businesses, including a beautiful yoga studio, the Funky Om Yoga Studio, and the Om Organics Grab and Go Cafe. And both of these are in Huntington, New York. And he has been giving us a very inspirational story in his own personal growth. So thank you so much for joining us today, Millard.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's very satisfying to you to see people come in, you know, sometimes young people, and actually follow in your footsteps. And this does not take a minute. I mean, you have all these licenses, and it doesn't happen in a minute. You don't just decide to be a massage therapist. You have to go on a quest, pay a lot of money, spend a lot of years so that you know what you're doing and you're licensed. And certainly the same is with an acupuncturist. So it's a worthwhile endeavor, and now you have moved into making it also in terms of business. Do you find that there's any non-integration with the concepts that people might associate with running a professional and successful business with the softer philosophical precepts of things like yoga and natural living?
You know, it's very interesting because there were there's this concept in India within the caste system, the Brahmins, which would be the doctors, they weren't allowed to accept payment for treating people. It was just what they did, right? So it's very interesting to think of that. And nowadays, if your doctor was making decisions purely based on your health, rather than how business gets involved, because it does, because no matter what form of medicine you're in, if you have to charge for it, there is the business component, and hopefully that we find some way of walking that tightrope of business and helping people heal.
Absolutely, and it has to be, because for you to have a yoga studio, you know, no one's giving you that space. So,
right.
You do want to support people's health and wellness, and you do a lot of give backs. For instance, you have something at the yoga studio called Kirtan. Why don't you explain what Kirtan is and why you offer that free to the community?
Sure. So, yeah, the Kirtan is free, and we serve free food afterwards from the cafe that we make. We make usually something yummy and delicious, something probably with rice and lentils or whatever is left over from the cafe, but we give it away free at the end of the Kirtan. Kirtan is probably one of the most traditional forms of yoga you could ever partake in, meaning that it's way more traditional than any downward dog you'll ever do. But it is a very traditional way. So let me back up. Let me just define the word yoga for a second so we're all on the same page. So the word yoga means to connect two things together. The first way the word yoga was ever used was in the Upanishads, which was a text written about 2,500 to 3,000 years ago. And the first way it was used was you would yoga your cart to your horse. So you would unite your cart to your horse, right? So that's the first way in which they used the word yoga, was bringing two things together. Later on, it started to mean different things to different people. It meant, you know, connecting the mind to the body, connecting the breath to the body, and connecting the connecting the spirit or the soul to a divine energy. So these are all different definitions of yoga, some being more physical in nature, some being more ethereal or spiritual in nature. So Kirtan is a way in which you chant, right? But you're chanting with a very musical background. So there's drumming, and there's an instrument called the harmonium, which makes it a very joyous thing. And then you're taking these very traditional chants, and you've put them to music and rhythm. And this is what Kirtan is. And this is, a very traditional form of yoga. Now, the reason why we offer it free at the studio is because I've been around some of the best Kirtan performers in the world. And some of them being in Brooklyn. And you could go there every Sunday or Wednesday evening, and it's absolutely free. And they feed you afterwards, too, for free. It just gives such a warm environment and a sense of community that I admired that so much.
You know, believe it or not, I don't think you told people what Kirtan is, because it's so much part of you and your fabric. You know, it's hard to even imagine that people have never gone to one or even know what is it.
No, I could totally understand that people have never done it or experienced it. So a lot of times, Krishna Das is a very famous Kirtan person, and sometimes when you say his name, people go, oh, and what Krishna Das is, that's Kirtan. It's a call and response chanting. So I say a line, then everybody in the crowd says a line, and it becomes this call and response, very traditional, meditative, spiritual practice of chanting divine names. And
that's what it is.
Believe it or not,
a lot of people might have had no idea. So it's an event. People come in. You know, they sit down very often on the floor or a pillow, but people can also sit on chairs sometimes. So they have chairs available for those who that floor sitting is not, you know, easy for them. And then there is a leader, and you usually have some instruments there, so it's really fun. Often an instrument called a harmonium, which I love, or perhaps some other instruments that you may share which ones there might be. And then there's often, like you said, one person leading it, or sometimes they switch off, and they say a phrase, and then the group repeats the phrase, and it goes back and forth. For about how long does that event occur?
It's an hour. On Wednesday evenings, it's after my asana class, so it's 7:30 to 8:30 p.m.
Every Wednesday?
Every Wednesday night, yeah.
It's totally free. And then after that 1 hour of back and forth, it really makes you feel, I find, so incredibly relaxed. And it really does set up, we can do a whole show, and I have done many shows, on sound healing. Because the specific tones and the specific words have been designated as spiritually uplifting for thousands of years. They're not just random.
Yeah, one of my teachers, he says often when he leads kirtan, he says, these words have been on people's lips for thousands of years. And he said, whether or not you connect to them in any spiritual sense or anything like that, even that, just the words being on people's lips for thousands of years, holds a weight to it. And I always liked that. And then I asked him, I said, what about people that might feel like it's weird? Because the first time I did kirtan, I thought it was a little weird.
We're going to have to leave it there, and I would say that it's worth a try, and it's free, and we're so happy to have had you on today as our guest on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Our guest was Millard Roper. You can listen to this show again anytime on Progressive Radio Network, and thank you so much, Millard.
Okay, thanks a lot.
For being our guest and for your beautiful place, Om Organics Grab and Go Cafe and the Funky Om Yoga Studio. And thank you, listeners, for listening to us once again. We look forward to hearing from you, naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai wishing you the best. Stay healthy.